This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A 45-year-old man in custody in Boulder, Colorado, after police say he unleashed an attack on pro-Israel marchers. The man tossing makeshift Molotov cocktails, leaving 8 people hurt, one of them hospitalized in critical condition with burns. ABC's Alex Stone is there.
This is a community that knows tragedy, unfortunately. It was only a few years ago an active shooter killed 10 victims at a King Soopers grocery store just down the street. Now Boulder is dealing with this. The victims burned by a makeshift blowtorch and Molotov cocktails. The victims ranging from 52 to 88 years old. One is critically injured.
Gaza officials say 14 people were killed overnight in an Israeli airstrike on a residential building. Delegations from Russia and Ukraine are meeting in Turkey as their second round of peace talks get underway. However, expectations are low for any significant progress on ending the war. Ukraine launching a massive attack on Russian targets over the weekend. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Yesterday was the start of Pride Month, and Wisconsin is once again taking part. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tome Olson.
Governor Tony Evers got emotional during the flag-raising ceremony.
They pretended trans and queer folks weren't there at Stonewall in June of 69. I'll be with you in a minute. They told trans folks and veterans willing to fight and die for our freedom and theirs that their patriotism is not wanted and never mattered.
The Pride flag has flown at the state capitol every June since 2019.
Meanwhile, Republicans have introduced a bill that would restrict which flags could fly above government buildings and schools. Congressman Derek Van Orden was in La Crosse Friday to tour Western Technical College and its public safety complex. Van Orden said he would like to see federal Pell Grant money directed at trade schools and STEM programs. He also plans to return to La Crosse next month for commencement. Meanwhile, protesters at Van Orden's La Crosse office criticized the Republican for his vote on the budget bill. Van Orden said the bill doesn't cut Medicaid, but the Congressional Budget Office said 8 to 14 million people would be left without coverage if it passes. A proposed fee increase could affect La Crosse property owners later this year. The Stormwater Utility is proposing an increase of nearly $10 per month to help pay for operating costs and capital projects. A second proposal would then add a 22% fee increase for January 1st and an annual 3% increase to account for inflation for the next 3 years after that. The proposals will be considered by the Board of Public Works today. If they pass committee, they would go to the full Common Council next week. Hot, hazy, and humid. That's what's on tap to start this week. Highs will be in the upper 80s and low 90s today, with dew points rising throughout the day as well. Air quality will also be a concern thanks to the combination of humidity and Canadian wildfire smoke. Tonight, it'll stay muggy and hazy with temperatures right around 70 degrees. Tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms are likely with a slight chance of severe weather. Drier weather is on tap the rest of the week. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
It's the Brewers and the Reds. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Reds open a 3-game series in Cincinnati tonight. Yesterday, the Brewers with a 5-2 win over the Phillies to complete their first sweep in Philadelphia in 10 years. This despite a shaky start from lefty Jose Quintana, manager Pat Murphy.
Quintana didn't have his best outing, walking three guys early. I think they all scored, or two of them scored, and then gets hit in the knee, but then responds and gives us two good innings. Our bullpen was challenged him in the zone. This is a really good team. You know, best record in the National League.
Pitcher Tyler Alexander designated for assignment. NFL, Packers resuming OTA practices this week in Green Bay. In golf, 25-year-old Maja Stark of Sweden finished 7-under par to win the Women's U.S. Open at Erin Hills in Wisconsin.
It's so cool just looking at all the names on this trophy. And I mean, I love the U.S. Opens, and I'm so happy that it's mine now.
That's Maja Stark with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We are going to have more of that smoky haze in the sky today, otherwise partly cloudy and warm with a high in the mid to upper 80s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy this evening, scattered showers and thunderstorms late tonight are low in the mid to upper 60s. Tomorrow and tomorrow night, showers and thunderstorms with some heavy rain. Highs tomorrow in the low to mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org. Supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
This is for people who watched me anchoring the news at Channel 13. My last day at TV 13 was 20 years ago yesterday.
Oh, I'm old now, too.
Well, yeah, that was my whole point.
Pat, I was, too, when you stopped working at TV.
That's what I get all the time now is people come up and they go, oh, were you on TV? I'm like, yeah. And then I go, don't say it. I watched you when I was a little kid. I'm like, yikes.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time. Weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, I'll be joined by senior ranking member of the state's Joint Finance Committee, Senator LaTanya Jackson, to talk about the Republicans' cuts that will affect you and yours.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 8:06, and nice to have you here up north on this Monday morning, June 2nd, 2025. Parker Olson is standing by at Studio A2. In Madison, nice to have you along. We're going to cover some state news stories throughout the course of the hour here. And also coming up later in the week, we're going to have Congressman Mark Pocan as a guest on Thursday. Tomorrow, we will have Hans Breitenmoser and Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association to talk about June Dairy Month in Wisconsin, all of the many dairy breakfasts that you can take part in and some of the other events. Seems to me someone on the text line or in the governor or in the comment section said that they had done one. Oh, here it is. It's Alicia. Said, got June Dairy Month started off yesterday at Wayside Dairy for the Brown County Breakfast on the Farm. So June Dairy Month is underway. And if by chance you have never partaken a dairy breakfast, and Greg Bach, that's still you, buddy, get to a dairy breakfast. Increasingly, They're happening in community centers rather than farms because they're getting so popular and farms can only handle so much traffic. But so if you're fortunate enough to live in a county where they still have breakfast on the farm someplace, get to it. It's a wonderful community gathering, and it's a wonderful way to appreciate the families who are still working in Wisconsin agriculture. It's not all corporate factory farms yet. So get out there and take part in all of the various June Dairy Month activities. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is off today. Hope she feels better for tomorrow. For today, she says it's going to be mostly sunny, breezy, hot. Highs in the mid-80s, pushing 90, a south-southwest wind at 10 to 20 miles an hour. For tonight, increasing cloudiness and mild. There is a good chance of showers late in the northwestern half of the state. Lows in the low to mid-60s with a south to southwest wind around 10 miles an hour. It is 65 degrees up here on Lake Wissota right now. And looking at the extended forecast, looks to be a whole lot of, I guess, around mid-70s or so for the rest of the week. So we have this one more hot, humid day to deal with out there. And then things get cooled down, get rainy. Maybe there'll be some storms. But Parker, the wildfire smoke is really noticeable. At least it is up here. I don't know if it is down your way in Madison.
Yeah, we were having, I think, I can't remember who it was last hour that was talking about it. The sun was like just visible, which is really weird because it was just so smoky. You could actually kind of look at it. It was really strange.
It was Selena saying to her daughter, like, stop staring at the sun. But it's, I was doing the same thing. I was driving home from the airport and I just kind of kept glancing over because it was just surreal how easily you could see it because the smoke was that thick. Again, we do not recommend that doing on any ongoing basis here. But I was driving back from the airport because we had flown out west for our oldest grandson graduating high school. And so I wanted to kick that around for a little bit, just high school graduations and things. Where did you graduate from?
La Follette in Madison.
Okay. I mean, I'm assuming you graduated. I should not have jumped to conclusions, but
I did make it to college. So
okay. All right. Well, you know. But which one again?
UW-Whitewater was the college.
See, I think I made my point. But you did graduate high school. You got in there. What do you remember most about your high school graduation? Was it a good experience? Much like we talked about my prom, just because most people have a good experience with something doesn't mean everybody has a good experience with something. How was high school graduation for you?
Well, high school graduation was really weird because I had an in-person graduation. It was the first in-person after COVID. So we were like in that weird age of what are we doing exactly being with people, because that's not what we do anymore. Mm-hmm. But we did ours in the football stadium instead of the Kohl Center. We normally did it in the Kohl Center, but because of Madison school districts, we're like, let's not do it inside. So we had to do it on our football field. That was kind of funky, but it was hot as I can recall. It was very hot. That's all I remember.
Yes. And the other thing I remember about 2020 and 2021 graduations was the number of communities that used drive-in movie theaters. And the audience was just everybody in their cars in their own little family bubble. And then they would just honk their horns or flash their lights, you know, at the stage up in front there as people were graduating and things like that. For ours, which was in Idaho Falls, my grandson was part of our larger class, like 400 some students who were there, and it was held in the local Civic Arena. They have a minor league hockey team, the Idaho Spud Kings, which play there.
Spud Kings,
and
there we go.
The Spud Kings. And so it was a really nice, it was air conditioned because it was hot out the other day up there, because they're facing that same high-pressure system that we're dealing with here, bringing in all that hot air from down south. So it was nice to be in an air-conditioned arena. The thing that they do, and I don't know that every high school necessarily does this now, but they know that, you know, people are going to applaud or cheer when they hear their kid's name or whatever. So they space it. There's always this pause now, and they're definitely TV-friendly or, you know, just camera-ready for these moments. The graduate, you know, hands a little slip of paper to the person with the microphone so they read the right name. The person walks about, you know, 10 feet onto the stage and pauses. It's almost like Miss America. They just pause right there while the camera gets them, so they're up on the big screen. And by and large, they'll call their name. It'll be like Parker Olson, and Parker will stand there and kind of wave a little bit and then go to the next step of shaking the principal's hand and getting your diploma or whatever. Some folks, however, you know, you could tell which ones wanted like the viral moments. And there were at least a half a dozen young men who, as their name was called, would walk out to their mark on the stage and did a backflip.
Yeah.
In a cap and gown. And I thought, wait, what happens when, you know, the one doesn't, you know, make it? It's like, well, while he lays there with a bone sticking out of his leg, we're going to carry on and call everybody else's names that are out there.
We had a couple at Whitewater. We had a couple of guys who just did like full on dance routines for like a good 30 seconds. They just danced on stage as soon as their name was said.
I don't know about 30 seconds, but we had a couple to do a little dance. The one that I liked, if you do it properly, was the selfie, where they get to their mark, they turn around, they hold their phone up, and they take a selfie with the whole audience behind them. But the thing is, and this is real nuance, this is down to stage instructions here, is before you do that, give the crowd a wave first. Make it seem like, hey, this is all our moment together. The ones that just walked up there and don't even acknowledge the crowd, they just turn around and snap the picture. It's like, come on, you know, let them in. A little bit of show business here. But it was a lot of fun, and our oldest grandson, Mason, has really been into weightlifting. And I mean, the kid is just ripped right now. I was so jealous. And he was known as kind of a gym rat. And so sure enough, when it was his moment, instead of waving, and he doesn't backflip, but he gave this full on flex, which a few people cheered at, which that was a lot of fun. Mine was a lot different.
What's it like back in the day, Pat?
Back in 1982, I was chosen to give the address at commencement, which was a really nice honor. And so I worked with a couple of teachers because I was on the debate team and I was on the speech team. and we worked really hard at it. And I'm really glad we did, because I just sat in the main audience there with everybody else in my class, and then they called me up to give the address. And I get up to the podium, and I go underneath their little shelf there under the podium to grab the copy of my speech, and it is not there.
Huh.
And I feel like I projectile sweated right through my cap and gown. I don't know if maybe one of the previous speakers accidentally grabbed it going back to his or her chair or whatever. But I am so thankful, because you listen back to the recording of it, and the first thing you hear me say on the tape is, well, I guess I'll just wing it. And I just tried my best to do it from memory, which could have been, and again, this was before viral video, so it wasn't going to be a viral moment, thank God. But I mean, it could have really been a moment of me just going, but I just delivered that thing from memory, which I could not possibly do that now, you know, an 8 to 10 minute address, whatever it turned out to be. Listened back to the recording and had it, like, nailed it, like, word for word.
That's impressive.
Tony's correcting me. Don't you mean 1882? No, Tony, 1982. Thank you very much. But yeah, delivered that thing and came back and just sat in my chair practically just shaking. I'm like, did I get that right? Did I get that right? Oh, I hope I got that right. But it turned out okay. But
that's and good.
It was you know, obviously it was a good time. Glad that it worked well for everybody. Hope everybody else's graduations and commitments went well. And it was nice just to get out there one more time, because Mason now has his own plans that may not necessarily end up in Idaho, to be determined. And his mom is looking at some other job opportunities out of state. So I don't know when we're next going to be out there in the mountains. Do you have much experience on, in Colorado, Idaho, anything like that?
I've never been anywhere except for like DC is the only place. And that was when I was a kid too. I was maybe like 7 or 8. So I have never really done any traveling as an adult.
Never thought I'd be spending this much time in Idaho until our daughter moved out there. And so we've had to drive and fly out there many times over the past 13 years. And it's just gorgeous. I mean, obviously we all know, the mountains, I'll bet they're gorgeous. Yeah, they are. But so is that whole area of the High Plains leading up to it. And the folks are so, so crazy friendly out there. It's just a beautiful place to be. I'm glad we've been able to make the trips that we have out there, because one of the areas my daughter's looking at potentially for moves is the Dallas area. And
that's
I'm
different.
Just not so sure about Texas.
No.
I just don't know.
For a couple reasons.
Like we said, you're always welcome to come up here in the summer times, because we're up here on the lake. We'll take you on a boat, and maybe we'll go down in the winter time when we need to get a little bit of warm weather fix. But we will see. TBD. I'm glad, again, like I said last hour, the Dallas Stars were eliminated from the Stanley Cup Finals, so I got that much. I don't have to worry about Samantha being coaxed into somehow rooting for a horrible hockey team.
What's your hockey team then? Are you a Wild guy?
Obviously. Okay. And the Milwaukee Admirals, obviously. But cool. with the North Stars being ripped away and taken down to Dallas, there's just no way I'm rooting for them. Much in the same way there's no way I'm rooting for the Florida Panthers. even though, yes, I know ice hockey can be played anywhere, you can build arenas any place. It's just wrong.
It's wrong.
It's just wrong.
And I don't like it.
Edmonton, all of our hopes are on you. You couldn't get it done last year. See if you can't pull it off this year. And then if time would have allowed, but it's probably best that time doesn't allow. It's just to say a few words about the airplane travel out and back. And one of these other times, I'm going to go on one of my old man rants, because I get to do that now. I'm going to go on one of my old man rants about airline etiquette and folks who clearly are polished travel professionals. And people who very clearly are not. But that's it. Save it for another time, Pat. Let it go. Take a deep breath and carry on and tell people, from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota. Thank you for making this a place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Get off my lawn!
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Matt and Air on Air.
Congressman Mark Pocan is here. Are you planning on going out on the road again, having a couple more town halls?
Yes. No, Claire, Derek and I have been invited by Opportunity Wisconsin, so I'm really looking forward to debating Derek. My guess is it's more likely I will sprout a head full of hair than he will show up. This is important to let people know what's in this bill, because there is a very good reason why Republicans are hiding from town halls.
Catch Matt and Air on Air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Did you know? VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served.
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with a VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/homeloans.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Before we get back to some Wisconsin stories, let me check things on the national wire here that I wanted to talk about. First off, it was a couple of weeks back when I got back from Portugal, and I was talking to Dan Schaefer about elections elsewhere in the world since Trump took office, and how people looked at that and said, I don't know that that's what I want. And in places like Poland and elsewhere in their national elections, Canada was another example, where the far right was dealt setbacks in recent elections. But it's like we always say here, every election matters. And don't take your eye off the ball. Let me take you back to Poland for a moment, where, again, in parliamentary elections, the far right party was dealt a setback. But there had to be a runoff election for president, which, again, in most countries, president is not the highest office. It's usually prime minister. Same goes in Poland. But the president still has some duties, obligations, some power. And in that runoff presidential election over the weekend, the conservative candidate won with 50.9% of the vote in a very tight race against the liberal mayor of Warsaw. And so it just, again, reveals some deep divisions in a country that is right there on the eastern flank of NATO and the European Union. It can now be expected that the country will take a more nationalist path, which may or may not lead to more concessions or conciliatory gestures toward Vladimir Putin and Russia. Again, every election matters. Can't emphasize it enough. Then also this headline from the Associated Press this morning. Can Donald Trump fix the national debt? Republican senators, investors, and even Elon Musk have doubts. I'm not waiting until Friday when we have our normal week in review panel and a couple of great journalists and Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze to jump on this one. Because what is the premise of an article like that to begin with? That Donald Trump ever could do something to fix the national debt? That he ever was serious about fixing the national debt? That that was ever even an intent of his? As opposed to empty words? It's a lot like what we said about Senator Ron Johnson last week. Senator Johnson is claiming to oppose the current Republican bill, the current Trump tax bill. Not because of the massive cuts to Medicaid, but because in his view, the cuts aren't massive enough. In other words, he still wants giant tax cuts for the very wealthy. And he wants you, the middle class, the working poor, to pay for it. And he says it's because of the debt. He doesn't want to drive up the debt. The debt that has grown like a weed since he took office. And again, he says he's all, you know, anti-debt. But he also was a champion of the last Trump tax bill in 2017, which, again, he bottled up until he could get a better tax break for the type of business he operates. Now, he said that this particular tax benefit that he, you know, helped push through 8 years ago was for small business. And he described this type of company called a pass-through corporation, which does not necessarily pay corporate income tax. It's taken care of. Everything passes through to the owners, and then the owners are personally liable for this. And so he says, well, this is all about small businesses. Well, if it were really about small businesses, he would have put a cap on it and said that this special new tax break goes to pass-through corporations up to a certain level. At that point, you're a pass-through corporation, but you're run by a multimillionaire or a billionaire, and maybe you don't need the tax break. That is not what Ron Johnson was thinking. Ron Johnson was never going to put a cap on it, and he wouldn't do that if it was coming up again right now, despite his pledged concerns about deficits and the debt. And some of the people who benefited most 8 years ago from him putting that expanded sweetheart break in for pass-through corporations were billionaires who then put tens of millions of dollars into getting him elected over Mandela Barnes. They dragged him across the finish line. He otherwise was going to lose to Mandela Barnes if it weren't for those billionaires who directly, financially, personally benefited from Ron Johnson taking more of your money and giving it to tax breaks to them. Had they not gotten involved, we would not still have Ron Johnson as a senator, who again is claiming that he is opposed to this. And you have other people saying, well, maybe this time, if we give enough tax cuts to the wealthy, they'll then use that money to create jobs, and the jobs will create revenue, and that will address our national debt. Why isn't there a laugh track that's required to play when anybody says that? Have we learned nothing in 40 years since Ronald Reagan? And by the way, in this story from the Associated Press, where Donald Trump is speaking last week in the Oval Office, over his left shoulder is a great big portrait of Ronald Reagan, who started this fairy tale that we are still living with today, that if we just take care of the rich, yeah, we can run up budget deficits in the short term, but they'll take care of us. It will all trickle down. It didn't work. And I can now say, I'm now old enough to say, we tried to warn you 40 years ago that maybe electing a celebrity actor as president wouldn't necessarily be the best thing for government and the economy. And it's getting a little old after all these years saying I told you so over and over and over again. But instead, we're repeating the same mistakes. And hopefully, this is the last time we have to put up with that. Well, I sure hope so. Reminder, sign up for our newsletters, plural. We've got multiple newsletters to choose from now. Go to our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the top banner. Live from Lake Wissota, what a great place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. It's not the heat, it's the humidity this week as we begin the month of June. With more, here's Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The jet stream is lifting north into Canada, and it's bringing the warm southern air with it. This means not only will the air temperatures rise well above normal, but the humidity is tagging along too. Dew point temperatures. Well, the best way to describe them is to think of it as the moisture in the air. 50s feels fine. 60s is starting to get sticky, and 70s is uncomfortable. You'll notice it start to feel a bit more muggy. By the middle of this week, dew points spike to the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
After a hot day today and showers and storms tomorrow, we'll see highs in the 80s the rest of the week here in the Cooley region. The Iowa DOT is preparing water taxis this week after closing the Blackhawk Bridge that connects Wisconsin to Iowa over 2 weeks ago. The 94-year-old bridge was closed on May 17th after one of its piers moved. The bridge was also closed for nearly 2 months last year for emergency repairs. DOT officials don't have an estimated reopening date. According to the DOT, docks were installed ahead of opening up water taxi service and plan to announce more this week. The closest river crossings are in La Crosse or Prairie du Chien. This week is the start of water flushing for the city of La Crosse. The annual routine began last night and will work its way through La Crosse's south side for the next 2 weeks. After that, water utility crews will begin work on the north side, which is estimated to begin on June 16th. The water flushing typically lasts less than a month each year. According to city officials, water flushing is expected to wrap up around June 22nd this year. You can find more information, including a timeline of when your neighborhood will be affected, on the city's website. In La Crosse City Government, the Commercial and Multifamily Design Review Committee reviewed plans for both of the La Crosse School District's capital projects last week. The two projects are for adding on to the State Road Elementary School and the new elementary school at the Hogan Administrative Site. The projects were approved in a referendum that passed last year. Later this week, the City Plan Commission and Judiciary and Administrative Committee will take up rezoning ordinances to allow the district to begin work on the projects. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Major Margaret Houlihan, also known as actress Loretta Swit, has passed away. Swift played the character, also known as Hot Lips, for the entire 11-year run of MASH. According to Deadline, she was nominated for an Emmy Award every year and won twice in 1980 and 1982. Swit passed away at her New York home from natural causes last Friday at the age of 87. Hot Lips and Frank together again. More troubling news regarding Kevin Costner's too-long-to-say movie title and ridiculously long movie, also known as Horizon, An American Saga, Parts 1 and 2. Good grief. Last week, Costner was accused by a stunt person of sexual harassment, and now the production is being accused of not paying its costume fees. The United Costume Corporation is seeking $350,000 for unpaid fees, according to Variety. Just a word to the wise, to the Yellowstone star, those costumes may come in handy if creditors come knocking. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We are going to have more of that smoky haze in the sky today, otherwise partly cloudy and warm with a high in the mid to upper 80s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy this evening, scattered showers and thunderstorms late tonight, are low in the mid to upper 60s. Tomorrow and tomorrow night, showers and thunderstorms with some heavy rain. Highs tomorrow in the low to mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to health care, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees, I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, America's credit has been downgraded. What does that mean for Wisconsinites? Hour number two, we go beyond the cheese. Don't miss it.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Those Milwaukee Brewers, winners of seven in a row, having swept three in Philadelphia, move on to Cincinnati. First game against the Reds. Coverage begins at 5:35 this evening on stations in Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, Richland Center, and Hayward. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. Coverage of the Brewers tonight, tomorrow night, and then Wednesday afternoon before a day off and returning home for a series against the San Diego Padres coming up next weekend. Let's talk about the Green Bay Packers for a moment. If you head over to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, you'll be able to see a story there about how the Packers have now scheduled their family night. It's a kind of a pregame thing where there are giveaways, music, fireworks, a lot of kid favorite things that'll be going on there, all happening on the, it says here, the first Saturday of August. Well, I guess I should look up the date on that then. That would be August, first Saturday in August, August 2nd. I hit the wrong button there. So that's when to look for that. And then you've got the first preseason game on August 9th when they host the New York Jets, probably without Aaron Rodgers. And then the first regular season game at Lambeau will be September 7th, a 3:25 against the Detroit Lions. Learn much more about the Packers family night and more about the schedule as well. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com and look for that story there. All right. There is a list that came out late last week. A list, I don't want to call it a hit list, maybe an enemies list, something like that, that was put out by the Trump White House. And it was a list of places that were on their naughty list because they were so-called sanctuary cities or sanctuary communities or whatever, and that they are actively working against what Donald Trump wants to do, which is deport as many brown people as humanly possible. And other people that, in their view, you know, don't belong here in a nation of immigrants that needs immigrants more than ever before. But when the Department of Homeland Security put this list out last week, it said each one would get a formal notification that the government is deeming them uncooperative. It's not really clear what it would mean from there. Apparently, it was just supposed to intimidate them into being more cooperative with all of these immigration raids and things and putting people who have committed no crimes behind bars and shipping American citizens out of the country and saying, oops, our bad, but you're going to stay there. So that list would be bad enough as it was, as originally written. Complete with its, misspellings, its misidentified counties versus cities. But then there were places on the list that were real head scratchers. Places like Shawano County. Shawano County, which, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, voted something like 67% Republican in the last presidential election. So, again, a roughly a 2-to-1 margin, Shawano County is about as ruby red as it gets for its partisan politics. And yet it made this list of non-cooperative institutions. Here's the story from the Journal Sentinel. Shawano County, just west of Green Bay, wound up on the list despite 67% of county voters supporting Trump in the last election. And the county administrator told the Associated Press there must have been some kind of a misunderstanding as to how Shawano County ended up on this list of, you know, immigration sanctuary cities. Well, here's how it happened. Back in March of 2021, so just over 4 years ago, the Shawano County Board, again, in its far-right conservative ways, took a vote that said that Shawano County is going to be a Second Amendment sanctuary county, meaning that it was going to oppose any attempt to enact, quote, legislation unlawfully infringing on our rights under the Second Amendment. In other words, this was shortly after Joe Biden took office as president, and the Shawano County Board wanted to make a statement that said, you know, Joe Biden and you Democrats, you maybe want to keep us safe with your gun safety laws. We're not going to let you. We're going to do anything possible to undermine gun safety laws, is what the Shawano County Board was saying in March of 2021 in giving themselves the ridiculous declaration of Second Amendment sanctuary county. But in continuing evidence that government service in the Trump administration is more about blind loyalty than it is competence, Shawano County made the list because it had the word sanctuary in it. Yeah, it's a Second Amendment sanctuary county, but you know, a lot of other places are claiming to be sanctuary cities for migrants, and somehow they just got rolled into that list. Here's the updated story from the Associated Press. A widely anticipated list of sanctuary jurisdictions no longer appears on the website of the Department of Homeland Security after receiving widespread criticism for including localities that have actually supported the Trump administration's hardline immigration policies. If you go to that site now, you get a page not found error message in its place. All right, good job. Again, those who hate government the most should be trusted the least to run it competently. And again, it's simply blind loyalty that has replaced competence in terms of government service. In another story that we followed from late last week, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers released a draft environmental review Friday about Enbridge's proposed Line 5 oil and gas pipeline tunnel project that would run in the Straits of Mackinac that connect the Great Lakes, Lake Michigan, and Lake Huron. Line 5 carries around 23 million gallons of oil and natural gas liquids every day, leaving Superior, crossing northern Wisconsin and Michigan to Sarnia, Ontario. It's a place that is grabbing oil from Canada and transporting it somewhere else in Canada, but coming through Superior and northern Wisconsin and Michigan along the way. And Enbridge's pipelines do something that any pipeline has a tendency to do at some point in its history. It leaks. It ruptures. It spills. There was a spill not long ago in Jefferson County. There was a big Enbridge line spill in Michigan a few years back. There are people that don't want Line 5 to exist anymore, saying we need to be moving off of fossil fuels anyway, and that these pipelines could be a real threat to environmental health, to our clean water. Up at the Bad River community near Ashland, Enbridge is running a pipeline right through the reservation. The tribal community has said you're no longer welcome here. So they're going to reroute the pipeline around the reservation, but still cutting right across the Bad River, dumping right into Lake Superior. Imagine all the oil and natural gas liquids that would be released in the case of a mishap. Now take that same concern and put it to the Straits of Mackinac. You know, Mackinac Island and places like that. Well, there, Enbridge is proposing that they put Line 5 into a tunnel that would run underneath that area, that very sensitive area. The draft environmental review released on Friday by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers says there would be harm to water and wetlands, but the study found that most environmental effects would be short-lived. The effects would include the release of about 20,000 gallons of drilling fluid, and it would draw down groundwater up to 2 feet. It would draw down groundwater up to 2 feet in a small area surrounding the installation of a water intake pipe. The report also said that there would be long-term detrimental effects through permanent wetland loss and adverse effects to archaeological resources that are significant to the indigenous communities there. Here's one thing we don't know from the report: any consideration of climate impacts, because the Trump administration has rescinded taking any action on the impacts of climate change. So the environmental statement lays out these impacts, but again, it's a draft. The review process is accelerated because the Trump administration declared a national energy emergency. Did you know that we are under a national emergency for energy, even though we are the biggest exporter of energy out there? But not enough for Donald Trump and for the big oil and gas companies. So he declared a national emergency, which put the review of pipeline projects like these on a fast track. So this draft report is a step toward issuing a final environmental impact statement, which will then inform whether a final permit will be issued for Enbridge's Line 5 and for the tunnel. Needless to say, the folks who are most concerned about pollution from this pipeline are calling more attention to what it actually says could happen rather than the fact that it's on a fast track. Line 5 essentially is an existential threat, according to a spokesperson for one of the groups that is fighting this. But Scott Manley, the executive vice president of government relations with Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, says that, you know, homeowners and businesses rely on these products that Line 5 carries. And Manley says the draft report confirms this project will only have minimal and short-term impacts, primarily during construction of the submerged pipeline tunnel. Although the pipeline, he says, has operated safely in the Mackinac Straits for decades, this important project will ensure that businesses and homeowners will continue to have access to affordable and reliable energy they need with yet another layer of environmental protection. He says, although the pipeline has operated safely in the Mackinac Straits for decades. Again, there are people who would beg to differ, who have pointed to the other pipeline spills in Michigan and other spills in Wisconsin, and to say, this is not a chance that we want to take. Unfortunately, this pipeline was also put on a fast track by former Republican Michigan Governor Rick Snyder back in 2018. So again, we have a process that's been accelerated by Republican governors and presidents so that due diligence can't be done to ensure that this is a project that can be operated safely. And this pipeline isn't going through, you know, Scott Manley's backyard, and it's not going through, you know, Trump Tower. It's the people who are actually going to be impacted whose voices should count for a lot more. And at the moment does not. But I will say the process is not done yet, and that there is still time for courts, the Environmental Protection Agency, and others to stand up for the safety of the largest supply of fresh water in the world. Jane Matinair is a preview of what's coming up on her show next across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Dismantling the IRA and other federal clean energy incentives will add a half a gigaton of greenhouse gas emissions by 2030. That's according to modeling from Princeton University. House Republicans passed aggressive cuts to clean energy incentives in their latest budget. The Senate is now considering the bill. The Public Service Commission of Wisconsin has given the green light for a major build-out of fossil fuel-burning power plants in Wisconsin. We Energies wants to build new gas plants and operate them for 30 years, largely to meet the needs of Microsoft's new AI data center. It's turtle nesting season, and the DNR is asking drivers to slow down on roads near wet areas, lakes, and rivers. Wisconsin's 11 turtle species lay eggs from late May through June, when you can often see them along roads and in yards. You can help keep them safe by being alert when driving through their habitat. For a deep dive into environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Positive psychology coach Kira Sabin. It is great to have you back.
I love the idea of self-help, but there's also something called community help. We have become so divided. We've forgotten that our neighbor is really nice and makes great cookies and probably has the same concerns on a daily basis that you do. I think that we think things have changed, and I think we're just have stopped talking to each other.
Catch the Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
There will be two different members of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee heard across the Civic Media Radio Network today. State Senator Kelda Royce will appear on Todd Albaugh's show at 2:30 and State Senator LaTanya Johnson at 4:30 on the Maggie Dawn show. That's just some of what's coming up across the Civic Media Radio Network. You know what else is coming up? Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach for Mattenair on Air with a preview. They join us right now from
Good morning.
Lovely Radio Park. How's Jane today?
Good, good, good. It was like the perfect weekend.
Oh, that's great.
It was. Just weather-wise, okay, maybe 6 or 7 degrees warmer if we're going to get real picky about it. But otherwise, I just thought it was magnificent.
Oh, that's awesome. I was talking earlier about how this week, 30 years ago yesterday, we bought the house that we're in right now. We've now been in this home for 30 years.
Wow.
Which we never thought possible. How long have you been in yours?
We have been in our house, I want to say 24 years.
Okay. And Greg, you're at three?
Three
years. But you haven't done anything. You've you start right from the get-go going, well, we need to fix this or we need to replace that. Mm-hmm. It all becomes worth it in the end. But Jane, you were telling me, you started not from the ground up, but from the roof down.
We started from the roof down. When we bought our house, it was the ugliest house on the block by far. not just the outside, but the landscaping and all of that. But mm-hmm. yeah, we had an ancient roof, so we started with replacing the roof. And then we redid the bathroom, then we redid the kitchen. I mean, but we repainted everything before we moved in and stripped all the hideous wallpaper and stripped all the floors. They had beautiful hard floors underneath all this ugly carpeting and all that stuff. We're in an older house, obviously. Yeah. So this is what you do.
Yeah. 30 years ago, there was nothing in this room except a patio. The only furniture we had was from my dad's patio, some patio furniture, and like a makeshift table that we put a TV on. And, you know, eventually it all filled in. Eventually we did all kinds of projects like you. We didn't really have a lawn to speak of,
right?
You know, but that's okay. We didn't have a lawnmower. The, you know, somebody, again, got a hand-me-down one from a friend. It was one of those push mowers with the gas engine on there that frankly could have won the Indy 500. You know, it was a big old Briggs & Stratton that just the smoke would pour out of it every time, assuming you pulled it enough times to actually get it to start.
Yep. I'm not going to cut the lawn. I'm going to melt the lawn.
Oh my gosh, yes. But it, you know, in time, all worth it, I guess. But
the problem now, and I just saw an article about this, Pat, is that people like us, they can't get us out of our houses.
Yes.
That literally is a problem. You know, I'm 65. My husband is 68. Mm-hmm. And for us, the problem now is our house is paid for, which is mm-hmm. great. We're very, very fortunate that way. But if we sell our house, now it's where do we go?
Yeah.
Right.
That we can afford without having to take out another mortgage.
Yes. Same here. We did not intend for this to be a forever home. You know, Sherry had just finished her medical residency. We were looking to set up. She was setting up shop to start her practice. And we thought, well, we'll be here for 12 years till the girls, you know, till they're empty nesters. And then we'll move on to something else. And instead, yes, we've done several remodeling projects. We have totally made this our own. You would not get it for the same price as 30 years ago, obviously.
Oh, my gosh, Pat,
you know?
Seriously.
I mean,
they don't make lake property anymore.
No. And so, I mean, I totally understand that if this house hadn't changed as much, that maybe it would be more of a starter home. But we do have a real problem with affordable housing stock. And I also, there's a lot of blame on it, but there's a lot of home builders that there's no profit margin in building starter homes. There's profit margin in building McMansions.
Yeah.
And so that's what they build. You know?
And we're seeing that with luxury apartments mm-hmm. as well. You know, there's all kinds of developments going up in downtown Milwaukee, which is great if you're looking for a second place and you live in Chicago.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what we have here. The most expensive house on the street. It blew up the street values here along the lake. And because the asking price was insane, I'm not even going to say what and we thought, there's no way anybody's going to pay that for that house. And I said, all it takes is one guy from Chicago. And you know who bought it? One guy from Chicago with a whole lot of money. And we see him maybe twice a year, but he's got
his lake property.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. So anyway, so that's our story of house ownership on this 30th anniversary of that. Look, it's become the Lake Wissota studio for a lovely little radio network and its morning show. I mentioned that Senator Royce would be on with Todd this afternoon, Senator LaTanya Johnson with Maggie Dawn. What do you and Greg have coming up for us today and this week?
We are talking about economics with Professor Rick Reed is going to be here. And we like to talk about some basics mm-hmm. and basics about the economy. So we are going to talk about the United States credit rating.
Yes.
And some other things that have been going on. So we're doing Econ 101 at 9:30 with Professor Rick Reed.
And if you have any questions, if you're going to stay with us through the show and you want to talk to or get a question answered, feel free to call us up during the show, email us, and we'll ask the professor. Because we understand the economy is a tough thing to digest.
It's really confusing.
To separate the national economy versus your kitchen table economy. And he's here to really break that down in a nice way.
And again, because we are not experts, we are expert adjacent. Mm-hmm. That's why we are having a professor of economics on. So otherwise, Greg and I would just sit here and make stuff up. So we're not going to do that. And then in hour number two, it is the first Monday of the month. Mm-hmm. That means it's time to go Beyond the Cheese, the segment where we focus on a business outside of the dairy industry. And I'm so excited to talk to McLaughlin and Hayes Hat Company. They make hats by hand.
Wait, somebody still makes hats?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
They're on Kinnikinick. And they make men's hats and women's hats. And for the Kentucky Derby and all of that stuff, they're fantastic.
Are they officially a haberdasher?
Yes.
They are.
A haberdasher and,
a milliner.
And a milliner.
I never thought I'd use the word haberdasher ever again.
Yes.
I'm just going to say it again. It's a haberdashery.
Bespoke hats, Pat.
Ooh, so nice. All right. Catch us all from Jane and Greg. Coming up next, Matt and Aaron Air. Thank you. You too.
Thank you. See you next week.
Have a wonderful week. Parker, thank you for everything. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Thanks to all of you for being part of the program as well. I'm Pat Kreitlow, founding editor for Up North News, the Wisconsin digital outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow morning here up north.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Russian state media saying that talks with Ukraine on ending the war have stopped for the day. The talks not expected to heed much progress. Over the weekend, Ukraine launched a large drone attack on Russian air bases, one of them thousands of miles away. ABC's Patrick Rievel with more on how they did it.
What Ukraine's domestic intelligence service, the SBU, has said they did is that over the course of 18 months, they first smuggled in these simple commercial drones that have been adapted, and then that they also smuggled in small wooden huts, basically sheds. And then these sheds were put on the back of trucks to transport them. We saw these amazing videos that show drones just emerging from the containers and then heading towards these Russian bases.
A 45-year-old man in custody in Boulder, Colorado, after allegedly throwing makeshift flamethrowers and Molotov cocktails at marchers who were calling for the release of all the hostages in Gaza. 8 people hurt, at least 1 critically burned. This is ABC News.